encourage you and remind you that he loves you and remind you that he still changes lives, right? He's still a God of great power. We don't always get to see it, but he's a God of great power and he does great things. And last week I read the little email from Susanna, and I'd love to say lots about that, but I don't need to. She's here today. So Susanna, we just welcome you. You're going to share your testimony, and on behalf of this family, greetings.
Thank you.
Get you up.
Hello, testing. Okay. Hi there. Wait, is it on?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Hi, guys. My name is Susanna Ellis, and this is my testimony of the marvelous and great things God has done for me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy my story as I take you through a trip of my journey and my recovery. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Stan for letting me share and for all of you for listening. My journey to finding and meeting Jesus began when he met me during worship right here at Potter's Hands. I was in detox about 5 years ago. Don't want to hold it too close.
It's just important. We need to hear you. So okay. If it takes a second, it takes a second.
Hello? Okay, that's way better. That's good. Okay, so I was in detox about 5 years ago, and I came to this church as I thought it'd be nice to get out of detox for a bit, not expecting to get anything out of church because I never really did before. Then the song Amazing Grace came on. I had such a hard heart from being broken and hurt and stuck in my addiction. When the song played, I felt a warmth come over me. I knew it was Jesus' arms around me. I felt my heart unfroze for the first time in a long time. I wept. I fell to my knees and I bawled to Jesus. I suddenly felt a peace come upon me. My eyes were open, and the next service, I wanted more. So I made the decision to get delivered from drugs and alcohol. Yeah, amen. I received the gift immediately to speak in tongues, and this was really weird at first, but I got seasoned in, and now it's my one-on-one hotline to God. Yeah, and when I don't know how to pray, I just talk to him in tongues. And Potter's Hands, they gave me my Bible, and they directed me with the tools I needed, and it's an honor to stand here again and share. I would like to begin with sharing with you my baptism on video, which took place at the Christian Life Assembly Recovery Service in Langley, BC, on April 19, 2010. And it's about 5 minutes, so just enjoy that.
This is Susanna, and let's say hi to her. Hi, Susanna. Bless your heart. Getting to know Susanna for the last couple months, and she is such a blessing to me, and we fit together really well because we both have lots of energy and we don't really ever stop moving or talking, and so we're just two peas in a pod. And I'm just so excited that I get to be here with you and do this. So Susanna, can you explain to us what life was like before Christ?
All right, my name is Susanna Tilley. This is my testimony. I was raised and brought up in a Christian home with two loving parents. At a very young age, I rebelled. My eyes were open to the other side of the world through things that were ungodly. I continued to rebel as I grew up and put my parents through heartache. I used to live in sin and rebel because I knew I was doing wrong. But by God's amazing grace, I have been saved. My old life tried to take me out many times, but God would not allow it. Through hard drugs, it all started out soft, and from there evolved into frequent chronic use to kill the pain and the hole I long to have filled, that missing peace in my soul that only Jesus can fill. I was dancing with the devil, and he stole from me a lot. But I will receive it back 10 times more through the Holy Spirit, and this is his promise to me. But I continued to use. My nose collapsed. I blew out my septum from cocaine. I continued to use. It then ate a cinnamon heart-sized hole in the roof of my mouth from my using. I had to have 2 reconstruction surgeries. On the palate of my mouth was the first surgery. The second surgery, they took a piece of my hip bone to build up my nose. From there, I could never use or snort cocaine again from wrecking my body so much from my overusing. After I received my surgeries, I continued to live in my old lifestyle in crime and drugs. But I was never happy. I always wanted more and more and more. I was never fulfilled. I still lived in sin. I knew I hit rock bottom when my ex of 4 years told me we were through, and he was not in love with me anymore. From there, I continued to smoke crack every day and do anything I could to kill, numb the pain, though I knew I was trying to kill myself. I got another chance at life. An RCMP officer found some paraphernalia in a hotel room and ordered me to go to detox and to leave right away. I had 15 minutes to pack or I would be charged. I chose detox. From there, I stayed clean for the first time in my life, and God's destiny began to become clear to me. When I became clear for the first time in my life. My roommate in detox was a Christian lady named Betty. She was my sister in the Lord. We both got delivered on January 24th. From there, I received the ability immediately to speak into tongues. I wasn't too sure which recovery place I was supposed to go to, but God did. And through my special love friends, I decided I was supposed to go to the House of Hope. I had no idea what I was getting into, but this is my journey to my recovery, and God has revealed to me this is where I'm supposed to be. Since I've been here, it's been hard to obey, but I know now. I've seen demons cast out, and I believe I never want to spend another dollar on a false high. I want to be high on the Lord, glorious, majestic, of most high. Live, walk, talk, and have his presence of the Holy Spirit on me forever. And to see other people saved from the pits. And today, I'm ready to be cleansed completely and released into my destiny of my life of serving the Lord and Christ Jesus, my Savior. And the only real, true love you can receive is through him, my Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, that just makes me so excited to just see you making this decision, and I'm just so proud of you. So on your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome. God is great all the time. Okay. So that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life, to give my life to Jesus completely and to follow him. The best part is he took me how I was, a complete mess. However, that was just the beginning of my journey. So a couple of weeks before I got baptized, I hit my 3-month clean mark. My skin was crawling, and I had enough of being under rules and restrictions at my recovery house. I managed to break into the office, where I used the computer to get a hold of my male friend, whom I traveled down here in recovery with. and I knew he left the men's program. I told him to come and get me. So that Friday he came, and I checked out of my recovery program, and in a matter of less than 12 hours, I got my welfare check. I was checked in to live at Salvation Army in Mission, BC, but I was not strong enough to stand on my own 2 feet. I was just a baby in my walk with Jesus, and I fell into all my old ways. I was back under the influence of alcohol, but it didn't fulfill like I thought it would. I woke up feeling shame, guilt, and sick from my hangover. I knew then and there I wasn't meant to be with my friend, and he was dragging me down. If I stayed with him, it would be just a matter of time that I'd be back on my drugs. Besides, I could see if I stayed with him, I would be living on the streets. After all, that night there was no place to sleep after I missed curfew at the Salvation Army. I started to reflect, and I read my Bible. I asked God to help me. I had no family, now or near, no recovery house, no place to stay, and I heard God tell me he wanted to be my husband for now. I got the verse clear as day he gave it to me, Psalm 45:10. Listen to me, O royal daughter, and take to heart what I say. Forget your people and your family far away. For your royal husband delights in your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. And he told me he wanted me to go back to the recovery house. Since I got delivered, I felt more close to God, and I could hear his voice in my heart. Even though I did wrong, he was always there with me, always forgiving, always loving. His mercy and his grace surrounded me and protected me. Psalm 37:39. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them from the wicked. He saves them and they find shelter in him. I knew in my heart what was right, and I lost my pride and I called my recovery house. I asked for forgiveness and another chance. Usually, once you leave, that's it. But I had favor from God, and they took me back with open arms. They even came and got me the next day. I felt like the parable of the lost son. I was lost, but now was found. Sure, I had huge consequences from leaving, not to mention there was a lot of tension in the house. But when I got back, I made the decision to get baptized, and I had a heart change. That's what you saw. Okay, so I pressed through Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I still struggled. I needed God more than anything and a lot of prayer. I reached out to my leaders to pray with me when I would struggle and the enemy would be in my mind. Worship became a huge part of my healing process. Healing would happen. Chains were broken when I gave it all up to God through worship and prayer. I started to really get it in my heart. It took a while for me to begin to change my rebellious ways. Eventually, I was up to my old ways again and sneaking around again. There was a reason they tell you not to get involved romantically with the other sex when you're in recovery, as you lose all focus on yourself. The program I was in, you were not allowed to talk to the other guys in the men's program, and they were quite strict on it. I understand why now. I managed to get around that, and I got involved. He left the program, and the next thing you know, I was back into breaking into the office and continuing to make contact and use the phone as I could. And it became a serious relationship. But came to a halt when I got a call that he overdosed and died from his choices of going back out just that once. So from there, I went through a really hard time at the recovery house, wanting to go back out again myself, but also knowing I needed to be there as it was safe. Still having that addict mentality, and in all the grief, I found and managed a way to get drugs sneaked into my recovery home. It was just a matter of time before I was in a relapse, living in denial, shame, guilt, and lies in my safe haven of recovery. And I had brought other lives that were being affected with me as they were vulnerable as well. This went on for a short period, and God really convicted me. I didn't know what to do as I had nowhere else to go. I just kept praying and believing that God would in fact help me out of this mess. I fell into a depression and spent a lot of time sleeping and trying to get out of church or any other activities I could. Finally, my parents noticed a change as for my voice on the phone calls, and they found me a new recovery program, and they came and got me. And there I went to Kamloops to a second stage recovery house, the House of Ruth. I was excited, nervous, and not used to being in society all that much after being in a strict recovery home for 9 months. This recovery home was like a dream compared to where I came from. It was a lot less rules and more freedom. I was determined that this time I was going to do it. I stayed focused and my eyes on Jesus. I had my head in the Word, I listened to teachings, and I found a good church, and I did my steps. I'll admit, if I didn't have that first stage recovery under my belt, I don't think I'd be where I was. I noticed the girls coming and going into the program like hotcakes. As soon as welfare day came, they were gone. I continued to be real and true to myself and accountable. I went to meetings and I attended church regularly. One day I was getting itchy again. I was conversating with God, and I was coming to the crossroads in my life and thinking about going back. God encouraged me. I have a degree as a florist, and I went to college for it. There was a flower shop not far from my recovery house. I was speaking in tongues, and I heard God tell me, go in there and ask for work to volunteer, and tell her that I, God, sent you in here. I thought, she's going to think I'm off my rocker. But I wanted to test if this was really God telling me this and to be obedient. So I went in. I told her. I was in recovery. I'm on fire for God. And God sent me in here to ask for a job to volunteer. She looked at me, short little gray-haired lady, and said, well, I believe God did send you in here. She was a believer, too. She told me, sure, you can start volunteering. Turned out we went to the same church and everything. God created all the time. It gave me a new sense of responsibility and something to look forward to. Every day after group at the recovery house, I would run to the flower shop to help. I started at the bottom, and I worked my way to the top as head designer. God was always there for me and behind everything for me. Soon, I started to get paid and put on the payroll. My boss helped me get out independently of the house and on my own. I had no belongings other than my hockey bag full of clothes. But God knew what I needed, and through the church and others, I got everything I needed to fill my own apartment. Yeah, from a bed to plates, cups, forks, knives, cleaners, food, a vanity set, a dresser, and everything in between, God provided for me. Yeah, it was awesome. Thanks. I remember I used to sit in my house and thank the Lord. I would be so overfull of thankfulness, I would just cry tears of joy many times. Yeah. I continued to stay clean. I worked on myself, and I stayed single for the next 2 years, clean. I went to my recovery programs and counseling, and sure, there was a lot of temptation, but God always provided me friends and family to pray with me when I was being tempted. I seemed to get stronger every test that I passed. My willpower also got stronger and growing stronger in the Lord every day. I had my own apartment, a great job, and two other jobs. I was a busy woman. I even got invited back to my old recovery house in Langley to share my testimony and encourage the new clients. And the leaders forgave me for my wrongdoings, as they found out shortly after I left of my dishonesty. Things were going great other than I was lonely and longed to have the companionship of and my husband. I prayed for him, even though I didn't know who he was, that God would bring him to me and put him in my life. This seemed to take a really long time, but it was on God's timing, not mine. And yes, it happened when I least suspected it. I met my love of my life, my husband William, walking down the street. Yeah, that's a story in its own. Yeah. We became best friends, then lovers, but we always kept and do keep God right in the middle of us. Amen. He comes from addiction too, and we both follow God first and choose to live life clean. We got married on September 28th, 2013. One of the most happiest days of my life. The day I married my best friend. We were pregnant and expecting in February. Since my husband, William, he worked up north and wasn't home too often, he wanted to move us back to Alberta to be close to my parents and family. And that way, I would have help with the baby if I needed. We moved after our wedding the very next day. Talk about a busy honeymoon. Got settled, and on February 21st, 2014, I gave birth to our firstborn, beautiful son, the most specialist blessing and gift from God, Ethan William. Second most happiest day of my life. Now life has many new challenges that come our way, but I have learned the tools I need to overcome and to live life on life's terms and to live life clean. When I look back, I see God's hand in my life through it all the trials, terrors, and tribulations. And I smile because I know God will never leave me nor forsake me. I want to encourage everyone that Jesus has great things in store for you. He loves you, and he has great plans for your life, Jeremiah 29:11. I'd like to close with two of my favorite verses, Isaiah 40:31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He did it for me, and he will surely do it for you. All you have to do is ask. Thanks. God bless you all. And I'd like to share a short slideshow with you from my journey of my recovery. So there's me in detox at Safe Harbor. There's me on the farm in Langley, House of Hope with my little frog, Kermie. There I am in the recovery house there. There I am in the middle. Me and all the girls. And there's the Campbell Valley House of Hope out on the farm in Langley. There was right after that was the day before I left the recovery house on my tear there. There I am in the middle, me and the girls. And there I am in my apartment in Kamloops, my very first apartment. There's me and my husband on our wedding day. There's little Ethan. There he is, little monkey. Yeah, he's 10 days old there. And there we are, our family. And this is some artwork I did when I did it actually straight and sober, which is awesome because I never thought I could. But yeah, that is done when I was in recovery, so. Yeah, and there's another one too. Thank you guys all for letting me share.
You say amen to that? Actually, is it okay if we just pray for your family a minute? Can you come up and where's little Ethan? You can bring Grandma up too, actually. That'd be just fine. Jerry, would you and Gladys, would you come up? You too, Gladys. I know you want to sit there, but you don't get to today. We're just going to pray. You don't have to pray out loud, but we just want to pray and bless this family. Thank you, God. That's such an encouraging story and a reminder of God's grace, a reminder that, you know, he takes such brokenness and he restores it. I just think about what he's done in your life, and it's just so awesome. One of the reasons why Susanna wanted to show the video is just to show that, you know, what you're saying to me, even in the baptism font, she was still shaking. She really was still on that road, and she wasn't nearly, you know, as good and as healthy as you are today. God restores, and it doesn't always happen with a snap of the finger. It doesn't happen overnight, but she was willing to walk down that road and trust that God is faithful, and in her words, that he doesn't leave me and he doesn't forsake me. And today we witness you standing with your mom, and you got little Ethan and William, and you are blessed. Jerry?
Well, I was just thinking, what a tremendous testimony. And you're right, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I stumbled and fumbled and monkey fiddled around, and your life was like a Girl Guide compared to mine as a Boy Scout. But what a wonderful thing to have family and that support. And
yeah, I don't know about that.
Steady up there.
Can we all come a little closer this way?
Yeah, I'll trade this one. Yeah, what a wonderful thing that there is true deliverance. It's not just recovery, it's deliverance. When Jesus delivers, he delivers. She's a done deal. Mm. Now we don't have to go slinking back anymore. He did it, and he never let go. You know, we might, but he never does. He said, I got them in my hand, and that's where they're going to stay, and nobody can take them. And I thought of this psalm, and it's true for many of us who have received deliverance, Psalm 40. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord. He inclined to me, and he heard my cry. And believe me, we do cry, don't we? Whimper and snivel and feel sorry for ourselves and guilt and shame, but he takes that away. He drew me out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and destruction, out of the miry clay, froth and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. Preach it, brother. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, revere and worship, and put their trust and confidence and reliance in the Lord. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who makes the Lord his refuge and trust and turns not to the proud or followers of false gods. And that is so very true, and that's worth reading every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Psalm 40.
Psalm 40.
Yeah. So am I leading in prayer?
Yeah, you are.
Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the testimony this morning we heard of your mighty works. But a young lady who was attracted, drawn to, and continued to be drawn by your love.
Yes, God.
And her husband, too, who came, and he's delivered. And how you've blessed them, Lord. Bless them in your love, in your peace, in your strength, that they can carry on. And Grandma's here, too, and just bless her for being here in support of her family, the family you blessed her with as well. So we ask that they continually seek their strength in you, Lord God. And may we as a fellowship here continue to encourage them in their walk with Christ.
Amen.
We thank you for the time you've shared with us, that you've rejoiced over us with singing. And we just ask your blessing on them in a powerful way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks, Jerry and Gladys. Well, that's meant to encourage you. It sure encourages me and reminds me that God's not done. You know, God keeps working, and there's maybe some of us even here today, you need to know that today. God's not finished, and he's not going to abandon you. He still has a plan, and sometimes we're still in that stage where we're still shaking. We're not there yet. We're moving in the right direction, but it's a process. That's really the truth. Sometimes it is a process. Not even just sometimes. It's always a process. God's always holding our hand, and he wants to walk with us. And Susanna's story is such an encouragement because it reminds us, you know, from the terror that she was in. And so she was so captivated and enslaved by the cocaine that she was doing. I mean, think about this. She blew out you know, the bottom, the roof of her mouth, using cocaine so much. And she still tried to use cocaine. She told me she's still even trying, but she couldn't do cocaine anymore because she didn't have the nostril to do it with. So she switched to crack and did that instead. You know, it's just, we're going to go from one thing to the next. We're going to go from one thing to the next until we come to Jesus, until we find that he's our only hope. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a big hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And when I say that, I mean it. We give God a big hand. We're not, you know, we sometimes clap almost inappropriately. And I just want to remind you that when we clap, even when we cheer, we don't do it for Pastor Stan or for Susanna or for the worship team. We do it for God. Only God gets the glory when we worship. Amen? And we're reminded today that he's a God who changes lives. And this has been an amazing encouragement for me because I'm reminded that God does all kinds of powerful things and I don't even know that he's doing it. And I love that. And I know, you know, she was in church 5 years ago and I went, "You were?" Because I don't remember, right? And she says, "Yeah, you and Crystal prayed." And I said, "We did?" She says, "And somebody gave you a Bible." And I said, "They did?" Like, I don't know how that happens because I know it had nothing to do with me. Because I know what I'm like on Sunday mornings, and you guys know what I'm like. You know, there's 4 or 5 people or 8 or 10 people, they want to see me. So, you know, you get 1 minute, you get 2 minutes. Like, I don't know if I don't have the time. I'm not spending that kind of time with people. It was all of this happens in spite of me. And reminds me that God's a powerful God. And he's still in the business of changing and saving lives. That it's what he does best. It's the only reason why the Father sent his Son. Is he needed to save the world. And the only way the world could be saved, the only way we could be redeemed is through Jesus Christ. Right? He didn't go to the bank. He didn't go and say, "Well, see how much money I got in the bank. I'm going to pay for these people." He said, "No, there's only..." Because that wouldn't work. Money couldn't buy us out of the prison and the slavery that we're in. The only thing that could pay so that we could really be righteous again, so we could have an eternal life, the only currency that would work is the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are a God who saves. Thank you that you share with us today a great story of how he persists. Isn't that astounding? Because it astounds me when I think about how God persisted, not just how Susanna persisted, but how God persisted in Susanna's life. He wasn't going to let her get back into the claws of the enemy. Amen? He wasn't going to. He got his hold on her, and he says, "I am going. This is my daughter. She is precious to me. I love her. I am going to walk this road. I'm going to journey this journey with her." And he did. Amen. That's just, I don't know, I'm so encouraged by that. And, you know, that's what we're here for. That's why you're here. That's what Potter's Hands needs to be about. So let's make that clear today, too, that if you just come here to feel good, you just want warm, fuzzy feelings, you're in the wrong place. I mean, I hope you get to feel good sometimes, but this is so much more important than about how you feel, or whether you like the service or not, or whether you thought the music was too loud or too soft. This has to do with saving people's lives. That people genuinely were lost, and now they're found. I love the part of the story where she says, "I walked into church, and you were singing Amazing Grace. And right at that moment, I let go of my old life. And I knew that Jesus wanted to save me." Amen? A wretch like me. Yeah, a wretch like William. Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like William. We're going to change the song. No, a wretch like me. A wretch like me. So I just needed to say all that before we open God's Word. And because, you know, there's some of you here today, you need to hear this. You need to know that there's hope for you. You need to know that there's hope for you. Yes?
I have a neighbor really strong on their behalf to pray for them and bring them to the kingdom, but they're resisting.
Yeah.
But I was just going to ask if everybody in this congregation could pray for Heather and Ken, because I know that God has a mighty purpose and plan for their life.
Yes. Can we remember Heather and Ken? Don't sit down. You stood up, so come over here. You pray for Heather and Ken. Let's first speak this out. You go ahead, Brenda.
Lord Jesus, we just bring Heather and Ken before your throne room, Lord God, before your conference room, before the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we prayed and we decree and we declare that they will become your daughter and your son.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name to protect them from any of the enemy's plans or purposes against them. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that Satan would be, the blinders on their eyes would be rebuked and broken in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would just bring them into your kingdom and cause them to have a mighty testimony of what you can do and how you can deliver and set them free and bring them hope and deliverance and life and healing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Mm. Amen. We all agree, right? Amen. Just
Holy Spirit witnessed to me that he's here today and he's come to heal the wounded and the brokenhearted.
Mm.
And if you've got an arrow in your soul, it's been there. Let's pull it out today. He wants to heal you today. Hey?
Yeah.
Let the healing rain fall.
Let it fall.
Amen.
Amen. So there's a Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God is here and he wants to bring healing and wants to see you well, right? It's time for that hope that he gives us. He's a God of great hope. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for the time we are able to spend here today and for your encouragement and for your reminder that you're doing powerful work, whether we see it or not, and that you are still the same Jesus who came to seek and save the lost. And this morning, we just pray for people who are struggling, people who are hurting, people who are struggling with depression, people who are struggling with sickness, people who are struggling with addiction. God, all of these are your sons and daughters, and you love them. And I thank you for the message today that you came for strugglers and for people who are limping along like me. And like the people who are here today, that there's hope because, not because of us, not because of what we can pull off, but there's hope because of Jesus. And we just want to hear your word today. I pray that your word will be clear and that you will touch hearts. Just let that hope and let your love, which undergirds all of this, the amazing love of the Father, let that just touch a real chord in our hearts today. I pray that we will leave today knowing and experiencing the depth of the love of the Father for sinners like us. And I thank you, God, that your word is alive and it speaks to us. And we just want to hear you today. And we open our ears and we pray that you'll make us good listeners. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's turn in the book of Genesis today. Been reading and just wondering where God's leading. But kind of back to that story of Joseph. And some of you know that story pretty well. Story of Joseph and how he gets into the hands of the Egyptians and ends up going to jail. Today we're going to read from Genesis chapter 47. About a time in the history of Egypt when there was a great famine in the land. So we're kind of in the middle of the story, but that's what it's about. There's a big famine in the land, and Joseph was a man who not only dreamed dreams, he was also a man who could interpret dreams. And so while, and this is, I'm just giving you background here, but while Joseph was in prison, Pharaoh, who had these really disturbing dreams, found out that Joseph was a dream teller. He could interpret dreams. And so he heard about Joseph. He called Joseph. He said, "Joseph, I've had these dreams, and the dreams are about these really fat, beautiful cows. There's seven of them that get eaten by these skinny, ugly cows. And I want to know what that means." And so he comes before Joseph, so you got this picture, right? This is the dream that God has given to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's smart enough to know that that's not just any old crazy dream. This is a prophetic dream, and it's coming from God. And he says to Joseph, so I got this dream. I got these beautiful, you know, wonderful fat cows and these skinny, scrawny, it even says in God's word, ugly. There are these seven ugly cows. Eat up the good ones. What is that all about? Why is that? And Joseph says, well, I'll tell you what the answer to that question is. The seven good cows are symbolic of seven good years. We're going to have seven great years. There's going to be a bounty. There's going to be an abundance. And we're going to be so blessed. And our storehouses are going to be filled. But after those seven good years, there's going to be seven very lean and very ugly years. And that's what the seven ugly cows are about. And so Joseph, you know, trying to make a long story short, Joseph tells that story to Pharaoh. And, of course, that's exactly what happens. There are seven wonderful years, and there's an abundance, and everyone's doing good, and the oil is flowing, and everyone's buying the toys that they want to buy, and the garages are filled with skidoos and boats. And then there comes the seven lean, very difficult years. And here's what we read about that in Genesis 47, verse 13. And it starts with the words, there was no food. There was no food, however, in the whole region because the famine was severe. Both Egypt and Canaan wasted away because of the famine. Joseph collected all the money that was to be found in Egypt and Canaan in payment for the grain that they were buying, and he brought it to Pharaoh's palace. And when the money of the people of Egypt and Canaan was gone, I'm going to read that again. When the money was gone, all Egypt came to Joseph and said, give us food. Why should we die before your eyes? Our money is used up. Then bring your livestock, said Joseph. I will sell you food in exchange for your livestock since your money is gone. And so they brought their livestock to Joseph, and he gave them food in exchange for their horses, their sheep and goats, their cattle and donkeys. When he brought them through that year with food, and so he brought them through that year with food in exchange for all their livestock. And when that year was over, they came to him the following year, and they said, we cannot hide from our Lord the fact that since our money is gone and our livestock belongs to you, there is nothing left for our Lord except our bodies and our land. Why should we perish before your eyes? We and our land as well. Buy us and our land in exchange for food, and we with our land will be in bondage to Pharaoh. Give us seed so that we may live and not die, and that the land may not become desolate. And there's a lot more. I'm just going to stop there, though. Maybe we'll have a chance to read on more in some of the weeks to come. When the money ran out, he said, the money always runs out. There's going to be a day when your money, I don't care how much money you got or how big your RRSP is or how much is in your savings account, it's either going to run out or you'll die and it'll still be in a bank. But it'll be of no value to you. It'll be of no purpose. It won't be able to do anything when that happens. There's a day, and we're kind of in that same climate in Alberta and probably in Canada right now, where we've had some pretty good years. A lot of blessing, a lot of abundance, a lot of favor, a lot of toys in the garage. You know, people buying houses and spending money and getting big mortgages and thinking that this is always going to be the way it is. It's going to last. But what happens when the money runs out? What happens when the oil dries up? What happens when the price drops in half almost overnight? And here's the interesting thing. There's no experts who predicted this. Like, no one thought. You know, some people thought, well, it might go down 5% or 10%. Some people thought, well, it might be a little high. No one thought we're going to see $45 a barrel oil, right? And already people are losing their jobs. And like we've talked about in the last few weeks, there's going to be more of that. It doesn't take a prophetic vision to see it. There's going to be more people who are going to lose their jobs and lose their houses and lose their toys. And there's going to be a lot more despair and struggle in this province. And the question really for us and for the church is, so how are we going to be relevant? Now, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to lift people up? How are we going to care for people who are at the very bottom and who are struggling with their very identity? Well, what are we going to do about this? And how might God use us? Because when we see desperation, God sees an opportunity. Amen? Right? When we see everything is falling apart and everything is broken, and that's true for us personally sometimes, God just sees it as an opportunity. Susanna's testimony is a great example of that. It's just a testimony of opportunity. As far down and as bad as things got, God said, I'm not done with you yet. And I'm going to use this to glorify my name. And it starts with things falling off. It starts with, you know, things that we count on and we think we're pretty safe. We tend to do that. We want to be that way. I'm pretty safe. I've got my house in order. I've got enough money. I've got RRSPs. I have an insurance policy. I think I'm doing all right. I'm pretty smart. A lot of people aren't as smart as me. And then it starts to fall off one thing at a time. And that's what we see in this story today. It starts with the money. You know, really it starts with the food, actually, and the famine. It starts with people can't provide anymore because there's no water in the land and the land won't produce. And then it's the food that's gone, and the next thing you know, the money is gone. And when the money is gone, then the possessions, the livestock, the quads or whatever it is, right? The toys are gone. And there's this progression of things. And when the toys are gone, then we have to give the house up. And when the house is given up, what are we left with? Right? And there are two words today that I want you to remember. So this is really an easy sermon. And even if you're not particularly bright, you will be able to remember these two words. I'm not saying that there's anyone here who's not particularly bright, but I'm making this really, really simple because I'm pretty simple myself. So there's two words. When I read this story today, there's two words. When you're going to walk out of here, you're going to think about this throughout the week. You're going to, okay, these are the two words. I didn't need to learn 20 words, just two. This guy's just a two-word pastor, all right? Here's the two words. By us. That at the very end of it all, after they'd given up the money, all the money was gone, right? All the possessions were gone, the land was gone, the livestock was gone. They came to Joseph, they came to Pharaoh, and they said, we've got nothing else here, so buy us. I think, wow, that is such a profound statement. It's only two words, buy us. And really what they're saying is, we don't stand a chance here. We're going to die unless we actually give ownership of our lives to you, Lord Pharaoh. So buy us, because we know that even though we will be your slaves and we will live in servitude to you, you're going to take care of us. You're going to give us food. You're going to give us something to do. You will make sure that we live. We're not going to live unless you buy us. You got to buy. You got to own me. And when you think about it, isn't that exactly what God requires of us? And we know more and more about that in the New Testament, that we need to come under the ownership or the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that in a lot of ways, or at least one way of looking at it, is one of the things that you do when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, one of the things that you do when you get on your knees and you say, it's time that my life changes, is you say, I can't take care of me anymore. I've tried to take care of me. I can't take care of me anymore. I need you to take care of me, Jesus. And I give myself to you. Buy me. Purchase me. Pay for me. Take care of me, Lord, because I can't take care of myself. It's what God's lordship is all about. He's the Lord. And I know we think of slavery. We go, oh, that's such a... And it is. It's a terrible thing. There's all kinds of bad stories about it. But what happens when you give your life to Jesus Christ is you you give him ownership. You give him the deed, really, to your heart. You give him the deed, and you say to him, I trust you. I'm not able to do this on my own. I've been trying to take care of myself. I've been trying to make this work. It isn't working. I've been trying to do all the things that man tries to do. I need you now, Lord, to just take my life. And I'm going to give it to you completely. I'm not going to hold back any part of it. Right? Buy me. Own me. Own me. I am yours. There's a number of New Testament passages that really speak to that. I wanted to share a couple with you because this is kind of a hard concept, the slavery concept and this idea of, you know, being owned by someone. And we kind of maybe reject it even because we've had so many bad examples of it, and it is a bad thing. I'm not saying that, but here, listen to what the Word says in Acts chapter 20. Just listen. You don't have to look these up. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul says to the leaders in the church, he says, you need to be shepherds of the church of God, which Jesus bought with his own blood. Right? He bought us. He paid the price so that he could possess us, so he could live inside of us. He bought us with his own blood. And then later on in Corinthians chapter 6, he says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Wow. And then in the next chapter, next verse, he says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, do not become slaves of men, brothers. But each man is responsible to God. Each man is responsible to God because you were bought with a price. And just one more. In the book of Revelation, we're given that sort of that picture in Revelation 5 where the Lamb is coming to read through the scroll. And no one can read the scroll until the Lamb comes. And we're told there that then I saw a Lamb, and he looked as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he had seven horns and seven eyes. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And here's what they said. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and get this, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. You believe that? With your blood, you purchased men for God. I wanted to give you those examples because I want you to know that I'm not just making this up, that we are purchased with the blood of the Lamb of God. And that, yeah, you can give God the praise. Yeah. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, right? We used to sing that song around campfires. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He paid for me. He purchased me with his blood. And one day when I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I need you to be the Lord of my life, he took ownership of my life. And I'm happy that he did, okay? I'm happy that he did. I don't see that as a slave-master relationship. As a matter of fact, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, and I believe it's in Luke 15, he said, I no longer call you slaves or servants, but I call you my friends, because you are now, you know the master's, you know the Father's business. Isn't that great? So we have that relationship. He literally owns me. He has paid for my life with his blood, but he considers me his friend because you know the Father's business. He says, you're going about the Father's business. But you got to know this today. You got to know this, that you were purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You were purchased, and it took every bit of that sacrifice. And that there was really no other way. You know, I think if there was another way for justice to be met and for our sin to be covered, God would have done it. He would have done anything. The Father would have done anything to not have to sacrifice his Son, don't you think? He sacrificed his Son Jesus. Because it was the only way that we could be saved. Because it's by his blood, right? It's by the blood. It's by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, I just want you to hear God today. And I want you to know today, just like Suzanne was sharing, that there's great hope for all of us. And that it really comes down to us surrendering our lives and saying, I'm not going to serve the other gods in my life. I'm not going to serve that crack cocaine. I'm not going to serve that pornography. I'm not going to serve my pride. I'm not going to serve myself anymore. I'm going to serve the only one who deserves to be served, my master, Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. And that when we do that, there's an amazing change that happens in our lives. And like we heard today, it may not happen, you know, like a snap of a finger. It takes time, and there's a process. And you guys know that. There are many, many, many stories here of that. We've heard many of them, right? I can think of a lot of you who've had stories similar, that this is the process, that God walks this process with us. And that sometimes, and here's really the center of the point, or the center of what the teaching is today. Sometimes we need to go through a really difficult time. Listen now. We need to go through a difficult time. We need to go through a desert road, perhaps, or you need to go through a famine, maybe. A terrible, devastating famine. We need to go through that to get to the point in our lives where we will get on our knees and say, so buy me. I have no other choice, God. I need you to purchase me. And some of you maybe are in that famine right now. You've been in it for a long time. I remember what those days were like. And there's still days, you know, not everything's wonderful. But sometimes we go through a period in our lives where you're on a desert road. And it's just a long and winding road, and it's difficult. We're going through a time where things are hard, and you want them to be better, right? You want things to get better than they are. And you wonder, why am I on this road? And I want to tell you the reason today. The reason is that God wants you to get to the point in your life where you have nothing left, and that the only thing you can say to him is, okay then, buy me. I want you and I need you to be the Lord of my life. And sometimes it's along that road that we learn to die to our pride. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are on that road right now in this province. People, you know, we've been spending all the money. We've been blowing all the oil. We've been thinking that we're riding this wave forever, and it isn't going to be true. But it's going to be an opportunity, like I used that word before, right? It's going to be a great opportunity for God to say, are you ready for me now? Are you ready to turn to me? I'm ready. I've always been ready. But are you ready to receive me as your Lord? And if you are, then what that means is you need to lay everything else down, all of the rest of it. We don't want to do that, though, you know. I know long-time seasoned Christians who say, or who at least live their life kind of like thinking that, yeah, God can be in control of the big things, but I want to be in control of sort of the little things about my life, you know. God, you take care of the world. You take care of, you know, the enemy. I'll let you take care of him. But when it comes to my life, I want to be in control of my own life. I want to do this. I want to know what's going on around here. But God says, either I am the potter and you are the clay, or I am nothing at all to you. And you cannot be the potter of your own life. You can't. You've been that, or you've been trying to do that. It's not working. I am the potter. I will shape you. I will, and sometimes I push hard and it hurts. But if I'm going to mold you and I'm going to shape you and I'm going to fashion you the way I want to fashion you, there might be some pressure and it might be kind of hard sometimes. And you might be going through a desert or a famine even. But I'm prepared. Here's what God says. I'm prepared for that. I am prepared for you to go through a famine if it means you'll be saved. I'm prepared that you starve. I'm okay with that. It's really what God says. It may sound cruel. I'm okay with that. I'm okay if you starve for a while as long as you're saved forever. Amen? As long as you're saved. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I am prepared. That's what God says. I will do whatever it takes to save you. And that might mean that you're going to go through some hard things. And some of this road that you're on, it's going to be as long or as short. It's up to you. You understand that? It could be 7 years long if you want it to be 7 years long. Or you can get on your knees right now and say, buy me. Own me, Lord. Have me, Jesus, have me. Are you understanding this? That he only cares, God only cares about one thing, and it's because he loves you so much. Do you have any idea how much he loves you? He loves you so much. He looks at you. He says, you are precious in my sight. Isn't she beautiful? She is amazing. Look at the heart of Terry. I love her so much. He says that to every one of you. He says, all I want you to do is be mine. Just be mine. I am the potter. You, on the other hand, are not. You are the clay. That means you need to just come like a lump of clay and say, okay, God, do what you want with me. Whatever you decide to do, Lord, you do it. I'm ready for that. And I'm going to stop resisting. I'm going to stop pushing back because I've been doing that. Some of you have been doing that. God wants something to happen in your life. He's trying to teach you something. He's bringing you through a desert road, and you're pushing back. You know who I'm talking about. You guys know. He says, stop fighting me. If you want to fight, go ahead. I got all the time in the world. I am a God who knows no time. I am from eternity to eternity. You want to fight me? You want to resist me? You want to build your own kingdom? Go right ahead. But there will be a famine in your soul and in your heart until you turn to me. And you may lose everything. And I'm prepared for that, God says. I am totally prepared. I know this sounds cruel. It's not. But here's what God really says. I am prepared for you to lose everything as long as you gain eternal life. I am prepared. You don't have to lose everything if you'll just surrender to me right now. You don't have to. But let's get this straight, God says. There's only one thing that I care about, and it's because I love you. There's only one thing that matters, and it's not the color of the carpet in the church, and it's not what your wife did last Wednesday. There's only one thing that matters, and that's that you belong to me. That you're mine, and that you understand that I have saved you, that I have purchased men for God. I have bought you. I have poured out my blood. You are saved because my son Jesus died for you. That's the truth. That's really the truth. And so this morning, and I always do this with a certain amount of fear and trepidation, but I do this also to be faithful to God. And I had my argument with God this morning. I said, well, God, what if no one comes forward? What if no one even understands what I'm talking about? And he said, well, make it simple. Just do two words. So I did two words. So you should get it, right? But God says, you know, if one person, if there's even just one who wants to give their life today to Christ, that would be worth it. And he said, and if there's none, it's still worth it. Because what you say is the truth. And then and he made this really clear to me this morning. He says, that's all I ask you to do. All you need to do, Stan, is just tell the truth. So I'm telling you the truth today. You can decide whether you want to believe it or not. And you can decide if you want to come forward and give yourself to him or not. But I'm going to give you that opportunity. That happened for you 5 years ago. And you came in here, the Holy Spirit just, wow, wooed you. I like that word. And you received the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And really what you said was, by me. By me, I'm yours. I am completely yours. And I want you to know today that God has, you know, Susanna is special. She's really, really special, but she's no more special than you. Isn't that true? You are just as special, and God wants to redeem you. That's what the word we're talking about today, all this buying talk, is that word. It's a theological word, maybe, redemption. He says, I've come to redeem you. And maybe today it's time for that to happen. Maybe it's just time that you come to him and you say, God, I've been listening. I know what you're saying. And I'm making a mess of my life. I've made a huge mess of my life. I've tried to run my own life. I've tried to control my own life. And it hasn't worked. I want to be yours and yours alone. Is there anyone here today who wants to make that confession? Amen. Amen. Wayne, right? Wayne, you want to come up here? I am sorry I didn't give you the fine print. You put your hand up. You think you get to just put your hand up, but it doesn't stop at that. Wayne, I'm just so glad you're here. And I think there's others maybe. So come on up here. Get under my arm. This is the arm of God, buddy. Hallelujah. Amen. This is Wayne. Who else wants to say to Jesus, by me? Anyone else here today? You want to make that start? Two Waynes. Okay, is there any other Waynes here? Just back up a bit. Amen, brother. Okay, here's another Wayne. So we're doing the Waynes first, and then we're going to go to the Bobs, and then we're going to go to the Dans. I'm just kidding. Two Waynes. There's two men. That takes a man. Let me tell you something. It takes a man to stand up before all of you people and say, I want Jesus, and I don't want to be in control of my life anymore. I want to give it to him. And I don't want to miss you. I want to give you another opportunity. Just come. Anyone, just come up. If you want to come up, now's the time. If you need a new start, a clean beginning, it's time to do that. You know, God's tugging on your heart right now. Don't be afraid. Thank you, Sonny. This is so important. I know some of you are trying to make a new start. You're never going to be able to do that new start without Jesus. You're going to keep falling down into the same hole. You're going to keep tripping over the same tripwire that the enemy's been setting up for you guys. You guys know what that tripwire is, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? I just want to invite you to come up. It's time to just get this straightened out with God. All right? Isn't that exciting? Here we go, Teresa. Oh, man, we're going to take a step back every time someone comes so we can make more room. And Rob, come on, Rob, join us here. And Annie, thank you, Jesus. And Tay. All right, thank you, Jesus. I don't know your name. What's your name? Tammy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Tammy, for coming, for being brave, for saying, this is what we're saying. I think I've been clear. But, you know, sometimes I think I've been clear, and people go, I didn't understand a word you were saying. So this is simply saying, by me, with his blood, he purchased us for God. Amen? I need some leaders from our church. If you're a leader here, come and stand behind us, please. This takes some main, big-time prayer. Come on up. Just stand behind these folks. You need to know that you're not doing this by yourself. You need to know that you're not on your own. You know that. Wayne, I'm so proud. I'm so glad. There's a change happening here, right? There's a change happening. And you know, we talked about the process. You'd agree to that, right? This doesn't happen overnight. You've been working on this for a while. But God's not done. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, right now we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for the blood of Jesus to purchase us for God. And for these men and women who've come forward, just give you thanks, God. We're tired of living the way we've been living, and we want that freedom. And it's hilarious, really. It's that freedom in being a slave to righteousness and a slave to obedience and to being a co-worker with Jesus Christ. So, God, right now we just pray that you'll lift up these people and remind them that you have such a future for them, for each one of them, and that their past is their past. It's done. It's dealt with. It's over. It's finished. It's finished. No more. Grab onto each other here, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for victory. Yeah. I pray for health for you. Yeah. I pray for patience and strength for you, that God will bless you, that God will make you the mom that you need to be, the grandparents, the parents that you need to be for victory, for stability and patience. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we lay it down, God. Right now, we just lay it down. Thank you, God. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I pray for Carrie. Yeah, you'll buy her right now. Take away the despair and the hopelessness. Take away the darkness, Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, take away the darkness. Amen. Amen. You're a mighty God. There's none like you. Lord, it's been a long road. For some of us here, it's been a long road. It's been a long road. There's been a lot of desert. There's been some famine. And I would pray today, God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for a new hunger. A hunger for you, God. Not for the things that man has to offer, but a hunger for you and for us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I pray for my brother. I pray for ministry. I just see him rising up. You have purchased him. You've purchased Tay for God. Thank you, Jesus. Just touch his heart. Hallelujah. Make him an evangelist, God. Give him the gifts. Speak into him right now, Jesus. And I know that the heart he has is a heart for God. Thank you, God. Let your gifts pour out upon him. Let your spirit pour out from him, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. God's got a purpose. God's got a great plan. You know that, right? Oh, my goodness. He's got something for you. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Pray, Alvin.
For a time such as this, it's no accident, Lord God, that they're alive today, Lord God.
Yeah.
And God, that you're purchasing them this very hour, this very second, Lord God. These ones, Lord God, that have surrendered their lives to you right now, the ones that are standing here, there's some in the audience, Lord God, that may have, God, you're working on them, Lord God. So we just pray, Father God, that the works of darkness would be broken, utterly
Amen.
Broken over their lives in Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Mighty name. The chains and the fetters would come off of them, Lord God,
Jesus,
and they would completely surrender to you, Lord God, and experience your favor, experience your love, your joy, your salvation, your forgiveness, Lord God. Oh, what you have for every man, woman, and child if they just but surrender
Amen.
And bow their knee before you, oh God. So we just thank you, Lord God,
Powerful
for these ones
God.
That have been called out this morning, Lord God, and that you're going to work mightily on their behalf. Throughout this day and throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout this year,
yes,
for the
God.
Rest of their lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Jesus.
Amen. You got to pray.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done and what you've initiated here with my new brother in the Lord, Wayne, coming forward.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in them. Thank you that you're showing them how to walk side by side. With you as Lord. Lord, I ask that you'd bring them into that deep walk with you, Lord, and that you'd show them how to open the entirety of their hearts unto you, that they'd not miss the abundance and all the goodness that you have for them. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father. Margaret, do you want to pray?
God, you are good and you see our hearts. Lord, I pray your blessing on these people as they have come to you and they're bowing down to you and saying, purchase me. Let your spirit touch these people, God. Let your spirit touch all of us. And let us take comfort in knowing that you are God and that you are powerful. And you are the only one that we want to purchase us. We don't want anything else to be in control of us or molding us, but only you. So thank you, God. I pray that your spirit will lead each one of these people into your ways. In Jesus' name.
Turning back, though turning back. Behind me, cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. None go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to end with a song, and then I think Matt has a video he wants to play as we walk out. But let's stand up. Let's worship God. Everyone needs compassion.
Love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me.
Everyone needs forgiveness. Kindness of a Savior. The whole of my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Salvation.
Today, know that you are loved by God, and that He loved you so much that He sent His Son, and that you were paid for. You were paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you amazing, eternal Amen. Matt, go ahead. You can put that on. God bless you. Okay, I guess we're done. You won.
You gotta know that I love you so. You're mine. let you go. You gotta know.